Well, Romans chapter 2. Romans is one of the letters in the New Testament that was written by the Apostle Paul to small Christian congregations in the city of Rome, right at the heart of the Roman Empire, of course. In these days, in the New Testament was being written. Very early church didn't meet in sort of big buildings like this one. Big church buildings didn't really exist until well into the 300s AD. There would be groups of Christians meeting in people's homes. This letter would have been sent to them by Paul, and it would get passed around and copied and passed around all over the place. Here we are able to read it now, therefore, in 2014. What we read here is, in a sense, the answer to the question that's the title of today's message: Christianity Inclusive, Exclusive, or Both? You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge another, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere human being, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you'll escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will repay each person according to what they've done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking, who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. Well, Christianity then, inclusive, exclusive, or both? That's a timely thing, because in our society, which is multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-religious, as the boffins call it, pluralistic. There are plural religions, plural faiths, plural nationalities, languages, everything is no longer just one. In our plural society, then we all have to get on with one another, or the whole thing falls apart. And therefore, we have to work with one another on things. We have to work side by side with people who've come from a very different background. We have all sorts of different faiths in the UK now, and in Aberdeen as well. We won't really go around sort of, just whacking everybody who's different from us. If you're kind of xenophobic, or if you're just the sort of person who can't stand anybody being different from you, then you're going to have a tough time in life, and you're not going to get much done. So we have to find a way of living together and forging something like a community, forging something like a coherent nation that's going in the same direction. We have to form a kind of coherent society when we are all so different. So it's not surprising that in the UK, we have developed a way of thinking which makes tolerance and being inclusive just almost absolute goods, almost the only absolute good value in society at the moment, because every other value belongs to some particular group or another, or it's some cultural thing or that kind of thing. So the only thing that we think we can all agree on is that we've got to be tolerant and we've got to be inclusive. And so toleration and being inclusive have become elevated in the UK to almost the only absolute virtues that are going to get exerted on people. And there's another reason why that's happened, and that is because in the past, where there was not tolerance and there was not an inclusive approach to society, then people who were different from most other people would get oppressed, would get victimized, would get marginalized. And that's not good. And so whether it was people with a disability, or whether it was people whose skin was a different color, or whatever it was, or whether it was just people who came from, you know, a different part of the country, there would be this kind of victimizing thing going on. And so now that being a victim of other people's prejudice, or intolerance, or exclusivity is by and large a social, if not always a legal crime, and since we want to be a tolerant and open society, then we have, again, just elevated toleration and being inclusive to almost absolute good. So the one thing you can't be in Britain today is intolerant. Or the one thing you mustn't be in Britain today is exclusive. And so golf clubs have had to open up their doors, you know, all male golf clubs have had to open up their doors for women and all that kind of thing, right the way through society, whatever it happens to be. One thing you can't be is exclusive or intolerant. Which is stupid. Because it can't work. Because tolerance itself is neither good nor bad. Whether tolerance is good or bad depends on what you are tolerating. And if you're tolerating something bad, then tolerance is bad. If you're tolerating something good, then tolerance is good. If you're tolerating something that is neither good nor bad, it's just neutral, that's good. But tolerance itself doesn't work as a value or a virtue. And it's almost impossible to put into action. The old logical problem of tolerance, as it used to get called, is this. If you tolerate the intolerant, you allow intolerance. If you don't, you yourself become intolerant. Let me repeat it. If you tolerate the intolerant, you allow intolerance. But if you don't tolerate the intolerant, you yourself have become intolerant. And that is a classic dilemma that our politicians face, that our schools face, that clubs face, churches face. That in order to keep things tolerant, you have to be intolerant. In order to keep things inclusive, you have to be exclusive. And you find that out when you go against the cultural grain. Then you find out just how tolerant society isn't. When you cross the line of political correctness, then you discover whether or not we have a tolerant society. And, of course, we don't. It's just a matter of what you tolerate and what you don't tolerate, what you include and what you rule out. So this whole kind of cultural knot that we have tied ourselves in, how has that come about? Not simply because we're a pluralistic society, because, in fact, Britain has always been a pluralistic society. We have Anglo-Saxons, we have Celts, you know, you go find off back, we'd had Romans and Britons and all that. It's always been a multicultural society. So how did it get like this? How did we get into this knot of pretending we've got to be tolerant, but actually being very intolerant? Pretending we've got to be inclusive, but actually being differently exclusive. How did we get into this knot? We got into this knot by taking the Bible and the God of the Bible and saying, don't want that anymore. We'll become the arbiters of what's right and wrong. We'll rule. We'll just set the Bible aside. Besides, you know, that's just one religion's book. And we'll set it aside because, and actually it's pretty horribly intolerant, isn't it? We'll set that aside because it doesn't suit us. And we'll set the God of that book aside as functioning in our lives, you know, it's very interesting to study, but functioning in our lives as God, don't think so. We set that aside. Then what? Once you've edited God out of the moral and political picture, what have you got left to be the arbiter of what's right and wrong? If you take the one absolute in the universe out, that is God himself, and you say, okay, everything's relative now, well, how can you have standards? And if you've got some, how are you going to enforce them? When everything is basically just an individual's choice or a fashion. If you take God out of the picture, which is what we've done in the UK, we've replaced it with some kind of vague spirituality or religions, but if you take this God out of the picture, to put it bluntly, you're stuffed. Because you have no, well, a builder would say a plumb line or a spirit level. You don't have that anymore. And so you take something which sounds really good, like toleration, and is in the right places, or being inclusive, and that's good in the right places, and you elevate it. And so people look at Christianity, and they say, well, it ought to be inclusive. That means there are absolutely no, there are no ins or outs. Everybody's in. And if Christianity seems like it's not like that, then Christianity gets rejected. Whereas as Christians, we come back and we say, actually, Christianity is inclusive. But it is also exclusive. Why? Because God is loving and he is holy. That is, God is both Savior and Judge. Of course, even the mention of God as being Judge nowadays in British society sounds horrific and horrendous and just totally immoral. And so wonderful are we in the UK that we become morally superior to God? Don't think so. But you see, if you think for a moment, it has to be like that. And we're like that. So, we tolerate some things, but we don't tolerate others. We include some people, but would rightly exclude others. So you're a head teacher at a school. You rightly include and exclude. You rightly exclude anybody who's going to be a threat to the children. And you have all the vulnerable group thing going on and protection of vulnerable groups, and you have whole swathes of legislation there to help you protect the children, to keep out the dangers. But you include the kids, and you include their parents, and you include others who can help the kids. So a head teacher a bit like God. Well, don't know what your head teacher was like. We had a headmistress at the primary school, Cross Hall Primary School, Miss Bradshaw, whose first name was Laura. And she was terrifying until he got a bit older. Anyway, a head teacher has to be inclusive in order to deliver an education which is going to give everybody an opportunity, irrespective of the differences between them. But also exclusive to protect and uphold the values of the school. So some people ought never to be allowed near a school and in a classroom. See, you've got to be inclusive and exclusive. You've got to tolerate some things and be intolerant of others. So even within a class, You will tolerate certain behavior and be totally intolerant and rightly intolerant of other behavior. So you see, to elevate toleration or inclusive, exclusive, being inclusive, to elevate that to some absolute good and everything has to be inclusive is stupid. It just does not make sense, and it does not describe how society functions in a healthy and safe way. Now, Paul, when he writes the church in Rome, is writing to churches that they've got a problem. And the problem is that some of them have become Christians from a Jewish background, and some of them have become Christians from a Gentile, Roman background. And they're not getting on. And they've got to learn to love one another and accept one another. And the whole basis for what Paul is writing is, look, God has wonderful mercy and kindness and forbearance and patience towards us. And we have all been sinners, but he has sent his son Jesus to save us from our sin because he wants us. But precisely because he is loving and a savior, but also holy and rightly the judge of all things, he says, you can't do some things. So you don't go passing judgment, leave the judgment to God. Don't you go passing judgment, Paul is saying, because you yourself, you needed God's mercy exactly the same way. You're not better than anybody else. You know, point the finger and the three pointing right back at you. God accepts us in Jesus Christ. God includes us in his kingdom when our faith is in Jesus. But if we're going to turn away from him and reject him, then he excludes us. And that's not such a complicated thing. So when we get to the second part, if you look at the second paragraph of what's written there, what do we see? Verse 6. God will repay each person according to what they have done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, that is, does God's will, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. Trust him and do his will. And it doesn't matter what your background. It doesn't matter what your sins have been. It doesn't matter who you are. You'll be in. Turn away from him. Refuse to believe in him. Refuse to trust him. And it doesn't matter who you are or what your background, you'll be out. Which means that, as in the rest of life, we've got a choice. Do we want to be in with God or not? And if we want to be in, we come to him. And we simply ask him to come into our lives. We ask him to save us. We ask him to welcome us in to his kingdom. And he will. And it doesn't matter who we are or what we've done. He will forgive because of Jesus. And we'll be in. And in forever. Let's pray.